Is your child ahead but not getting challenged enough in class? I want to talk to you about IXL. If you're homeschooling your child because they're falling behind or because they're too far ahead, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support that they need. IXL is flexible and personalized. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are in other programs. There was a period of time in our life where I was homeschooling our kids, even though they were going to public school because they weren't getting what they needed. They didn't have stuff like this back then. IXL is here now for you. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. My listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
James, it's about 7:30 my time, 6:30 yours, and everybody in sick is like staring at you because there's no audio. Maybe you'll get this before the show's over or notice in the chat room and see us screaming at you. Maybe not. Later.
This cast is part of the Geek Media. www.thegeekmedia.com.
Well, how in the heck are you out there, podcast people? This is Nobody's Listening Podcast, brought to you, actually it's episode 46, brought to you the week of December 3rd, 2007. Nobody's Listening is a podcast where we tell funny life stories and invite you to do the same. And I am one of your hosts. My name is James, and I am joined by guest host Jeff. And that's all you need to know.
How you doing?
Yeah, and if you can't tell people, Jeff is from, it's Australia, right?
That's right. That's right.
Is that the right thing to say? I didn't want to make the New Zealand faux pas. I know that's like a whole different world over there, and they hate it.
Oh yeah, that's a serious mistake, mixing those two countries up.
Well, Jeff's from podhammer.net, which is a miniature gaming podcast about the game Warhammer, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's a bit of a geek alert. If you think you guys are geeks, I take it to a whole new level. Warhammer is a miniature wargaming, tabletop wargame. Compete in tournaments and you know, listening to podcasts, I decided to make a podcast dedicated to Warhammer with interviews and discussion about tactics and playing styles and those sorts of things. And it's been a lot of fun.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah.
And it has to do with these little miniature guys that you guys paint and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're 28 millimeter miniatures. So they're about an inch tall. Man sized model is about an inch tall. It's a fantasy setting. Mm-hmm. And we compete with about 50 to 100 miniatures per side in a game.
That's crazy.
And you play reenactor a battle, and there's competitions. My focus is tournaments. So we travel. Me and quite a few people travel around the country, half a dozen times a year to compete in different events, and it's a lot of fun. Great community, and if you're interested in Warhammer or finding out what it's about, Podhammer is the podcast to listen to.
Awesome. Awesome. And you're the only one out there as far as you know.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, there's a couple of other miniature gaming podcasts, but there wasn't any Warhammer podcasts. So okay. I saw that as an opening. It was a great way to not have it's a podcast that doesn't have to compete against other podcasts that are similar. So even though mine's pretty crappy, it's still the best one out there.
Wahoo.
Now, let me ask you this. Apparently, you said how many pieces per side? 100 and what?
About 50 to 100, depending on the army.
50 to 100. You know, so if you're not good at chess, this is probably not the game for you, right? Like, if I can't keep track of my pawns, I probably shouldn't try Warhammer, right?
That's probably right. It's a bit more complicated than chess. Imagine chess with many more pieces. There's no set places where they can move. It's all done by, measuring distance between things.
Wow.
And there's thousands of combinations of what you can take in your army.
Okay. So is there ever a time that somebody just gets really frustrated and picks up a little piece and just hurls it at somebody's eyeball?
I've seen it happen.
Really?
some people take it pretty seriously.
That's awesome. That would probably be me. Because if I was losing at checkers, that board was getting flipped. And so,
it has happened, but, most people are pretty friendly and it's all about fun. We do compete, but, the ultimate goal is to have fun. People listening, if you're not familiar with the Warhammer world, if you've heard about World of Warcraft, you've probably heard about the upcoming, Warhammer Online. That MMO is based on the Warhammer tabletop game.
Well, I would hope so. Otherwise, somebody's going to be paying some royalties.
Have you heard about?
No, I'm kind of out of the MMO world. I got over my addiction to World of Warcraft, and I'm a free man now. And I'm on step 10, and I'm going around to everybody and apologizing to the people I've hurt while I played World of Warcraft. And then that is some other step, and I got to finish all 12 before the end of the year. Apparently.
I was the same. I got addicted to it as well. I played it for about 12 months, picked it up when the worst thing they did was they made it, you could buy demo discs with 14-day trials for $2.
Oh.
And I bought that, and that was it. I was gone. And so I finally broke free of that, and my fiance, Jody, thought she'd have me back, and then I stepped into podcasting, and it's just one more thing that takes me away from time with the family.
Well, that and private servers, found those, but don't talk about those. We're not talking about private servers.
No, don't talk about private servers.
I don't know. What private servers? I didn't talk about any private servers. So anyway, pawnhammer.net, people, check it out. If you're at all into miniature gaming, or even if you're not, maybe you're into playing with giant toys and you find that those are really expensive. I don't know. I don't know if that works. Go down podhammer.net and play with little robots and stuff. Is it future stuff? Is it World of Warcraft type stuff? Are there robots?
The game that I play is a fantasy setting, so Tolkien type orcs and goblins, elves, that sort of thing. But there is another game called Warhammer 40,000, and it's set in a sci-fi setting. I actually don't play that game, so I don't have, you've got to kind of focus on one. To really enjoy it, but there's a sci-fi version of it, and there's lots of other miniature war games out there as well in all different kinds of settings, from historical, you can reenact any kind of historical period, and dozens of fantasy settings, and quite a few sci-fi settings as well.
Okay, excellent. That sounds cool.
It's good fun.
Yeah, that's like World of Warcraft. I was really blown away when I found out that they had guns and rocket ships and stuff like that. So I thought it was all medieval.
Yeah, well,
so that must be kind of similar. That's cool.
Yeah, it's more kind of original Warcraft, rather closer to original Warcraft rather than some of the later stuff that they did with Outlands and the more sci-fi things that they put in.
Cool. Now it's time for the weakest point of our show.
What's been going on? Here's your weekly update. It's
my life. You get it? The weakest point of our show? Oh, my gosh. That's funny. Weekly update, man. What you got? What happened funny in the last 7 days or so over there in Australia?
Well, I wasn't sure what happened then. All I could hear was static, and I thought your computer exploded or something. Oh. What's going on there?
No, it's just that fiber optic cable that is run through the Earth's core from your country to mine. It apparently got some magma on it. So
yeah. Anyway, a weekly update. I've been thinking for all week coming up to this. Hopefully, I can embarrass myself or do something stupid in a funny way that I could, so I'd have something to talk about here. But I've actually come up with two stories. So I'll tell the first one, and you know, if we've got time, I'll fill you in on the second one.
Very cool.
For Podhammer, I went down to Sydney. I live 2 hours north of Sydney, and I traveled down there this weekend to do some recordings. We had a Warhammer event. It was the last one of the year, and it's the finals, so determine who's the best in Australia. So it was great place to get some good interviews and content for the show. So I went down, set up, and did that. It goes over Saturday and a Sunday, and over on Saturday night we were playing some poker and having a few beers and having a bit of fun, and I was getting pretty tired, so I wrapped up and was going to go back to the hotel. Another guy decided to catch a lift with me. We went back and we decided to have a beer. Mm-hmm. And we were talking, and we're watching TV and talking, and Jimmy Smits comes up on the TV, and he goes, have you seen that show Kane? Have you ever heard of the show Kane? It's just been released here.
No.
It's about sugar farmers. Anyway, it's got Jimmy Smits in it. He goes, but anyway, he says, I really liked him in The West Wing. And my eyes lit up, as I'm a huge fan of The West Wing. And here in Australia, it was never a very popular show. It was never on TV. So up until now, I've never had anyone to talk about it. And it was just, and both of us, you know, eyes lit up. It was finally someone we could actually talk to about The West Wing. And so we talked for like an hour going, oh, you know, I love CJ Craig. How great is this show? You know, I watched it all the way from the start. And it was really, really strange.
So you guys were like a couple of girls. You were just like, oh, let's stand all night.
We'll sit in a hotel room. It's the closest thing to falling in love with a man I've ever been. And he was exactly the same, because he knew exactly what it was like, because no one really has heard about the show. Mm. And it just happens to be a show that I stumbled across and have really always enjoyed. So that was good. And anyway, we on top of that, we moved on to kind of just talking about TV shows and comedies in general.
What's your favorite
color?
And
I mentioned didn't get that guy. We were talking about comedies, and I said that I really like the 80s. A lot of the 80s comedies, like, you know, Blues Brothers and, you know, Caddyshack and a few of that kind of stuff. And my favorite is Coming to America. You know, the movie with Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall, where they're the African princes that come over. And so we finished up chatting. I walked to my hotel room, turned the TV on, bang, credits for Coming to America. I watched the whole thing. It's crazy. It's like I predicted it. And so that was a really good night. I got to watch Coming to America, and I had a great time.
Awesome.
So,
and you made a lifelong soulmate. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
great.
A note.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one question real quick, though. Yeah. This has been nagging me, and I don't mean to be disrespectful. Do you guys have Outback Steakhouses in Australia?
No, we don't. And we all know about the Outback Steakhouse over there, and their menus are nothing like anything we eat here.
I kind of figured that right there. I kind of figured that much, but okay, all right.
Yeah.
So you guys guys aren't serving the kids blooming onions at the elementary schools there.
I've never heard of a blooming onion until hearing about it from the Outback Steakhouse.
So somebody's a big fat liar.
It was on, it came up on they did one of the talk shows here, and they did a show in the US, and it, you know, every time some Australian celebrity goes to America,
they get asked,
they do a joke. They do a thing about how wrong the Outback Steakhouse is. So, we do know about it.
Awesome.
But
okay.
It's bizarre.
All right. Well, what do they have any counterparts in Australia, like American restaurants that are themed American with supposed American food that may be?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they do. We have the Lone Star Steakhouse.
Okay, and, we have those.
You have those?
Yeah. Okay,
well, that's about the closest thing, I guess. You
okay.
know, we go in and it's, you know, it's got all the Texas memorabilia type things with cowboy hats and, you know, mounted buffaloes and things like that, and they've got all like license plates from the US, so I don't know if that's the same over there.
I've never been in one, but we have them. So
we have those here, and that's about it as far as American themed restaurants. But you know, we have McDonald's and right. Burger King and all those as well. So
okay,
yeah, there's not that much difference between our cultures, I guess.
Another question I have is, how do you feel about the West Wing? I didn't know if we could bond. I'm a little lonely. So.
Yeah.
Well, we could stay up all night and talk. Oh.
It's my favorite show.
Oh, really? Oh, my God. So
I can't
awesome.
Believe it. You love it, too. Oh. That's awesome. Yeah. There's heaps of stuff like that that I have that I enjoy. Like, you know, like your show and, you know,
you were
podcasting
just,
in general.
Were you born no in the wrong country, like buddy? It. Were you born in the wrong country?
I must be. I must know. Have been. Because no one likes the stuff I like.
Well, you're welcome here anytime. Crazy. We America, it may help your heart to know that America considers you one of the top two or three favorite countries. I don't know that for a fact. I'm just saying we love Australia. Yeah. We're in love with it. Like the Japanese were in love with Karate Kid back in the 80s and Elvis.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm loving it.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah. Canada's up there too.
I tell people that.
But we mostly
Canada's up there as well.
Yeah. We mostly make fun of Canada. Don't tell them. Don't tell them though.
Yeah.
They're a little sensitive.
I got to stick up for Canada as a Commonwealth country. We've got to stick up for the British Empire.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Dang it. Dang it. You and your unions. You're a union man.
So. Yeah, that's right. I've actually been to the States. I did Los Angeles and Las Vegas. It's about the touristy stuff, the theme parks like Six Flags and Knott's Berry Farm. They were cool. We don't
farm.
Have
I've
really big
one.
Theme parks like you guys do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's in LA. There. So they've got plenty of them over there. It seems like there's dozens of them all over the place.
Well, now I got to know is the crocodile hunter died recently and he was at the Australian National Zoo or what is it? He was one of my favorite people in the world. Him
really?
And Mr. Rogers and you might not know the Wendy's guy, Dave Thomas. They were like the last good guys in the world and they're
really?
Gone. Yeah. Oh.
Okay. I don't know those other guys, but I got to say that the crocodile hunter
Steve
is
Irwin,
a bit of an embarrassment for
no!
Australians.
No.
Yeah, he doesn't represent the cause very well. Aww. We're not all like that.
I just thought he was a sweetheart. I think he's an awesome dude. But
he's a nice bloke, and he did a lot of work, good things for this stuff that he's done with the zoo. It's a fantastic zoo. I haven't been there, but it's done great things for tourism in Australia and all that. But he's just the crikey and the whole thing is just. It's just over the top.
Now, do you think that's really who he was, or
it's almost like
was he faking?
I don't know. Who knows? But it's kind of almost like the Michel Chari type thing for, it's kind of blowing this stereotypical Australian thing, and
I don't know who Michel Chari is.
Quietly ashamed. Okay. The Chinese. Stereotype.
Oh,
guy,
okay.
You know,
okay.
The, like you're nobody drawing. Kind of that.
Yeah.
That cliche stereotype.
I gotcha.
And he's a bit of an odd character here. So he didn't have nearly as much fame here either as he did in the U.S.
Right.
The TV show was never a big hit here.
When are you guys going to send us a Jackie Chan? That's what I want to know. We need an Australian kickboxer or something. So superhero.
I'll see what I can muscle
okay,
up for.
Yeah, something. Anyway, I was basically dragging all of that out because I have no weekly update, so I wanted to.
Well, I got another one.
Okay, hit it, man. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have drug it
just
out.
A bizarre thing that I've noticed this week. Christmas first week of December, Christmas decorations are starting to come out, and we've decorated the house, and it's summer here because it's, we're Southern Hemisphere, but all of our decorations and things are still Western European Santa Claus themed. So,
he's wearing the big coat and everything?
Reindeer, snowman,
That's
all
awesome.
That kind of imagery is here. We can't have a real Christmas tree because it'd be too hot. It'd be brown in a day, so we all have fake Christmas trees.
And so do I.
It's
Hallelujah.
It's It's just bizarre. And what I was thinking about is this week we'll take my little fella to the shopping center to sit in Santa's lap and do the whole thing, get the photos, and I was thinking that
Hold on, real quick. I just want to point out that Santa Claus is kind of an embarrassment to us in America. He doesn't represent. He really doesn't represent anything from our country and or the North Pole for that matter. I've even heard a rumor that the North Pole doesn't even exist.
Really?
So I just wanted you to know that he's not even really that popular over here. I'm just telling you. So anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, as we know, Christmas is the time of the year where people of all religions come together to worship Jesus. And but
of course it is. I thought you were going to say worship Santa Claus, but.
But you know, these guys dress up in the red costumes with the, you know, the big fake beard and the woolen, you know, belt and all that. And I was thinking, you know, they were doing this 30 years ago here, before air conditioners had shopping centers had air conditioners in them.
Mm-hmm.
These guys must have been doing it tough back then. You know, it's all right now. You know, it's a nice and cool environment. But the poor guys must have been having a hard time when it's 40 degrees and they're wrapped up in this Santa Claus costume. And, you know, it's got to be horrifying for kids, you know, seeing this guy sweating and bright red and just keel over. And, oh, no, what happened to Santa? He's dying. Yes, many children's dreams must have been shattered.
What do you want for Christmas, little boy? Ho, ho, ho. Well, I want a raincoat because you're nasty. Yeah, I
can
see.
But, yeah, so that's just something I noticed this week, and it still puzzles me why how odd Christmas is here.
Well, in our little mall, they have these two escalators, one going up and one going down. Over here in America, we have steps that move, and they're called escalators.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have those two.
I don't know anything about your country, okay? I'm just trying to be kind. But there's a...
We call them chuzzawuzzas.
Oh! No, I knew it!
We don't.
Chuzzawuzzas. Anyway, so they put stinking Santa Claus right between these two things. And my daughter has done two things this year. She's become aware of Santa Claus, and she's become very mortally afraid of Santa Claus all at one time. Mm-hmm. And, can't even go upstairs in the mall anymore because she's like, I don't want to see him. And I don't blame her. Santa Claus is very scary. He's a very scary man. I like him as a drawing or in an inflatable light up thing in somebody's front yard. But as a human being, Santa Claus is scary. And I've even known people that have played Santa Claus, you know, that they're old guys with the big beards. They're big, fat guys. They love doing that. But they also scare me in real life. So there's reasons why Santa is scary, because he's scary before he even becomes Santa, because he's a big, fat man with a white beard who's old that loves to have kids sitting in his lap. So people, stay away. Take your kids.
It's borderline creepy. Any other time of the year, and it'd be, it'd be illegal.
Well, yeah. I mean, take the guy out of the suit, put him in some shorts and a wife beater. Hey, kids, come here and tell me what you want for Christmas. Yeah, that's going over real big. So
yeah, that's right.
Christmas was created by perverts, apparently. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry it spread. I guess we all have England to thank for that. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Mama England.
Yeah, no, that's it. Yep. So. They started it, I think.
Yeah, probably. I mean, we're all birthed out of them.
It's still a great time of year. Crazy as usual Christmas shopping. We've got a little fella now. He's going to be 2 in March, so this is his second Christmas. So that's truly made it. It's going to make it a fun Christmas. He's old enough now to kind of understand, you know, what it is to get a present and sit down and play with it.
How old you say?
He's 21 months.
I thought you were going to say 21. I'm like, well, I'm glad he finally figured it out. My daughter just turned 3, and she's actually getting even the big picture, like presents are coming in the future and we're buying stuff and Santa Claus. Yep. I tried to tell her how Santa Claus comes to our house and she got horrified. I don't like him. And so I don't know. We're going to have to modify the Christmas traditions there to include that he comes to the steps and he knocks and leaves it and leaves. I don't know. But let me ask you one more thing before we get into our main story.
Sure.
What was it? Good God. it wasn't about Crocodile Dundee. I figured if you don't like Steve Irwin, Crocodile Dundee's got to be like the Antichrist.
That's right.
I can't remember what. Oh, I just wanted to point out to everybody that though it is 5:55 our time here in America, for my friend Jeff, what time is it and what day is it? It's a Monday here at 5:55. What time and day is it there?
It's 10:55 a.m. on Tuesday. So I'm calling from the future.
Hello.
Great Scott.
It's awesome. See, when I catch up to you, I'm going to be in a staff meeting, bored out of my mind. So, man. Yeah.
I should be at work now. I changed a few things around to do this.
Well, I appreciate it. Well, let me not waste any more of your time. Let's do this.
It's the featured story.
All right, bud, it's all you. I will probably interrupt you constantly and make fun of you, but other than that, I mean, you know the show. It's all in good. Yeah. It's all out of love.
Yeah, cool. Now, I'm just looking at the show notes, and it says featured story by Lauren.
Well, that's because you have to talk like Lauren. You have to. Okay. I actually updated it, but apparently Google Docs did not save my changes. So enjoy.
Okay. Right. So we'll tell my story instead. Well, this story is from back in high school. It was about 1997. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, last week you were talking about what you'd call the classes after the 90s, like class of 1998 and all that sort of thing. I am the class of 2000. That's how awesome is that? That's the best class ever, I reckon.
Oh, my gosh. I have a younger brother your age. Yeah, that one worked. Yeah. I mean, we followed you guys' progress. I remember when they announced when you guys were born and then when you got into high school and then when you graduated. So
really?
Pretty cool.
Okay.
It was a big deal. Yeah.
Mm. It was a big deal for me, too, being born. That's a big part of my life.
That's a highlight of your life there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, this story is from high school. I did Japanese studies for about 3 years. And every year we'd take a Japanese exchange student for a month. And
they're
then,
also among the highest ranked people. We like Japan. We do.
Really?
Yeah, okay. As Americans.
Well, this is a real international show, isn't it, this one? Mm-hmm. So they came over for a month. They come over in our winter, and then I actually did a month that year as well, 6 weeks actually, in Japan in their winter. And so you kind of swap families in the school break. So,
cool.
But anyway, they came over, and they come to school with us, and there was about half a dozen of them. And one weekend, we decided to take them down to Sydney to see the I don't know if you know Sydney, but
is it the one with the opera house?
Opera house, yeah. Harbour. You know, if you're going to go to Australia and do touristy things, this is where you'd go,
right?
So we took them down and had a day down there with three of them. I went with my mother and my fiance. She was my fiance at the time. Mm-hmm. Actually, that day I asked her out and she turned me down, and so that. That's not the story, but I just wanted to point out, she'll be listening to this later. I just wanted to say, haha, I was right, you were wrong.
Broke you.
Yeah, broke you. But anyway, we did this day of stuff with the Japanese students, and we saw some kangaroos at the zoo and all that sort of stuff. We caught the train home, and we're coming up to the station, and you get out of your seat and stand in this kind of little second room where the doors are, where you get ready to step off the train because the automatic doors open.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, we're chatting away, and we pull up. Jody steps off the train, and we're chatting now, and the Japanese kids are talking as well, and the door's shut now, and so we've left, and so the train sails off. Jody, 15 years old at the time, is now left at 10 o'clock at night on probably one of the scariest train stations in Newcastle.
Okay, hold on now. Wait, how many people got off the train?
Just Jody. There was six of us. Six of us, and yeah. Jody just stepped off. She was in a hurry to get out of there, probably because I'd asked her out that day and it was a bit awkward.
So you and these guys, the door's shut and you guys are just taking off.
Yeah, so it's me, my mom, and three Japanese students. And so we head off to the next train station. And now, I guess it needs to be pointed out that this is like 1997, so really before everyone had a mobile phone.
Right.
So this story wouldn't be able to take place without if you know, today, because everyone would have a mobile phone, you'd be able to ring and sort it out. But anyway, we get to this next train station, and if you think that the one Jody stepped off was a scary dark train station, we stepped off at one that was even scarier. This is where, you know, they do, you know, here in the newspaper, there's been a mugging or a drug dealer being caught up there. You know, it's this kind of train station that's off the beaten track and it's dark and scary.
Mm-hmm.
So we're stuck there. These Japanese kids, they spoke a bit of English, but didn't really know that much. And so we couldn't really explain to them what was going on. And off the train station, we think, well, okay, Jody was getting picked up. We're supposed to get picked up from that previous train station. And so we think, well, you know, they'll just pick Jody up and she'll say what happened, and then they'll go to the next train station and pick us up. So we wait like an hour here in this dark, it's cold, it's the middle of winter. And, you know, these Japanese kids are getting a bit freaked out by now. So we decide, well, clearly they're not coming. They must think we're going to just organize something else. So we decide to catch a cab back to the original train station. This is like an hour later. We get there, and Jody and her father, who was going to pick us all up, had left as well. We must have passed them on the road, because they made their way to the train station we just left. It's getting a bit confusing.
Yeah. It's all right. There's two train stations. There's still six Japanese students. We haven't lost any of them. There's a future. Yeah. There's a future wife. Somebody's mom and you. I got them. I think I got everybody.
All right.
And a cab. A couple of cabs.
Yeah. So anyway, we passed each other on the road, and so they go to the next this train station where we got off, and so we're not there. So they keep going. They go, well, maybe they've gone to the end of the line. So they go right into town, and we're still waiting again. Now we're at a different train station, but it's still dark and scary and cold, and we have three Japanese students who have no idea of what's going on. So long story short, it was about 4 hours later that we'd actually all ended up in the same place at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, everyone got home. There was no diplomatic incidents, but geez, it was a long end to a very long day.
Well, was there any mumbling or murmuring? Was there any mumbling or murmuring amongst the Japanese students? I mean, were they apparently they were communicating with each other?
Yeah, oh, they were communicating with each other a lot.
You have any ideas what they might have been saying about you guys? Because you know, whenever you hear somebody from an Asian country speaking another language, the default thing is they've got to be talking bad about you.
Surely, yeah.
So what do you imagine they were saying at these points?
Oh, well, I bet they were saying, Jesus, well, we're not going to come to Australia ever again. We'll go to some other place where they know how to organize a trip to Sydney. You know, they must have thought we were complete retards. Well, you know, we didn't.
I think they're masters at public transportation, so they were probably wishing they could have stepped in and helped you guys out a little bit.
And we had plenty of time, because the trains, it's a small town, so there wasn't actually that many people on the trains. We don't have packed mass transit systems here or anything like that. So, you know, it was just us on the train. It's not like we didn't have time to step off because there was a crowd or anything like that. We were just stupid and just talking and not concentrating. Like, you know, how hard is it?
I would want to be there at that moment when you and her are talking and you don't even realize you're so wrapped up in each other's eyes that, you know, the love that's going to be there soon, that the doors.
Actually, it was me and my mom talking. Jody wasn't talking to me.
Ew.
This is why we were.
Ew.
Yeah, we were.
You're sick. Okay. Wait a minute.
Me and my mom that were chatting and not paying attention to getting off the train. So.
Well, let me imagine my way. My way was funnier. So,
all right, go your way.
It was
way,
you
right.
and her, and she, your future spouse, sitting in there, and you guys are talking, and you're blocking up traffic, and everybody behind you is wondering when you're going to move. When's the lovesick boy going to move? And suddenly the doors slam. I'd just love to see that look on your face, but that never happened.
Yeah, no, it never happened. But,
you're pulling off, and she's running down the train with her hand extended. Stop, stop, in slow motion.
At that point, she would have been saying, oh, thank God he's gone. He leave me alone. She wasn't really fussed with me at that stage in our relationship. But, you know, like I said, I was right. She was wrong.
Uh-huh.
But it was a good story in the end. You know, it was a bit stressful at the time, but you look back on it, it was And it was a good day.
What did we do before cell phones, man? What in the heck did
exactly.
we do?
Oh, I don't know how I got anything done, you know, with, you know, I look back and, you know, in my work career, you know, pretty much, you know, my adult life, I've had a cell phone, or we call them a mobile phone. But before then, I don't know how the business ran, you know, how we got any work done. You know?
I don't understand.
It's crazy.
I've only had one for the last, six and a half, seven years. And yeah, it's like microwaves. I don't know how I did anything before a cell phone. I don't know how I cooked my food before a microwave, and I don't know how I cooked my brain before a cell phone. So,
but I tell you what, the guy who designed, fashion designers, several years ago came up with the idea of putting, you know, cargo pants, pockets on the sides of pants.
Yeah.
Back then I thought, what a silly idea. Who needs that many pockets? But you add a mobile phone in, you know, your wallet and whatever else you got, your
keys. That's like the fanny pack.
That extra pocket.
The fanny pack was right. 10 years ahead of its time. If they would come out with that now, I think people would do it. But you'd have to make it look like a gun holster. That, you know, like it's strapped around your thigh. And for some people, I would imagine that strap would have to be bigger than others. But I think if fanny packs looked like big, like you were strapping, like Tomb Raider chick, Lara Croft, you had this big fanny pack in the shape of a holster, I think that would be awesome. But
do you know that we actually don't call them fanny packs? We call them bum bags.
What do you call them?
Bum bags.
Bum bags, B-U-M bags.
Yeah.
So can I translate that to American for you?
Yeah.
We would call that a butt bag.
Yeah.
And that's gross.
Well, you call them a fanny pack.
No. I translated it into Australian and then back to American. And that leap, it's a butt bag.
Yeah.
So
it's like that.
It's never going to catch on. It's
if Google Translate did it.
Exactly. It's never going to catch on. Here, you left your butt bag. No, there's...
Well, you know, I don't think it's an issue considering no one ever uses them anymore.
That's true. Well, you know what? It's not true. Go to a stinking Disney World sometime. All the rules are off at Disney World.
Yeah, right.
And especially if you're a stay-at-home homeschool mom. There, I just got 3 emails right there. From people that hate me now, but yeah, they don't know. That was our featured story. Let's do some call-ins. Let's take some calls. If you are a if you're in the stick cam world, let me go ahead and give a shout out to all the people in stick cam. I see Salothius and Red Boar. I see the Dune and who knows. Welcome, Bob's. Welcome. Chris Person 22, Dal Khan, welcome back. Frost, welcome back. Good Things Co. coming. See, I have a limited view and I don't see your entire your deal, but I'm glad to see you literally in the side of your head anyway in Stickham. And Ketch, which I imagine is short for ketchup. Carrillo, our moderator extraordinaire. Sammy X Cracker, who couldn't decide between his real name and his username. Had to get them both in there with the awesome X. And then the real McCoy. If you're wanting to call in, now is the time. The phone number is 816-298-0823. We're looking for folks with stories about transportation, questions about Australia, comments. Just keep them clean. It's a clean show. The people like the cleanliness. So call us, 816-298-0823 right now, and you can talk
Operators
to...
Operators are standing by.
That's right. James and Jeff are here, and nobody's listening. Hi, who's this?
I understand I'm hilarious.
Oh, yeah, baby. Welcome. How you doing, Real McCoy?
Good.
G'day, mate.
All right.
Yeah, you were getting nobody, so I guess I might as well...
Well, that's why we call the show Nobody's Listening, partner.
Sympathy phone call.
I said this is why we call the show Nobody's Listening, because it's...
Exactly.
So what do you got for me? Blind me with silence.
Not much. Can the co-host hear me?
He can hear you, but you can't hear him.
Oh, okay. I got a question or something.
Okay.
Did toilets really flush backwards down there?
Okay, that is an awesome question. I love you, man. The question is, obviously, the rumor is here that the water goes down backwards in Australia.
Yeah. I
don't know which way does it go for us. Is it clockwise here?
I guess you gotta define backwards because the way it goes here is full.
Okay. Real McCoy is going to his toilet to flush it in real time.
Okay.
So that's worth waiting for.
Yeah.
See if we can hear it.
It's counterclockwise.
It's counterclockwise.
Well,
no,
it would be
clockwise down there if it's backwards.
Okay, if your toilet flushes clockwise, co-host Jeff, we have something of a weirdness. If it goes counterclockwise, then we're all on the same page.
Look, based on my knowledge and what The Simpsons told me, I think it does go the opposite way, but how much time in your mind do you think I spend thinking about that each day?
You need to think about it. I need answers, dadgummit.
I tell you what, look, I'll check it out after the show, and I'll send.
Don't you have to take a poop or something right now? I will pause the show.
Really,
I will give you. I will give you an opportunity to do your business and go.
Right.
I will talk to my phone call co-host, and you go flush a toilet or something.
I'm going to just go flush the toilet.
Thank you.
A bit weird, but go to the toilet. But all right, I'm just going to flush right now.
All right. Anyway, Real McCoy.
Yeah.
I love you, man. In a very masculine way, though. I just want to let you know.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
No Christian and everything, so I understand the whole manly love thing.
Well, I don't think you have to be a Christian to understand that. I just think it does help to eliminate some options, though.
Yeah, really.
Like the Santa Claus option for one of them. Okay.
I guess I could do a weekly update kind of thing.
All right, hit it, dude. You got the microphone.
Okay, my brother and I...
All right, I'm back.
Hold on, Jeff. Hold on, everybody. It's chaos. Cats and dogs living together. Hold on real quick, McCoy. You're going to have to call in later. We have an answer.
Okay.
Here he goes.
The toilet in Australia flushes clockwise.
Clockwise, dude. It flushes clockwise. And we're counterclockwise, right?
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Well,
it's
hang on.
Backwards.
How can counterclockwise be back be forward?
Say what?
How can counterclockwise be forwards? If ours is going clockwise, they're going forwards, and you're going backwards.
No. I don't know. All I know is what we're used to is backwards in your country. So we're backwards to you. You're backwards to us. That is trippy and weird. And thanks to the Real McCoy for helping us.
That's a great question.
Oh, my gosh. Now I have to go to Australia. Thanks, Real McCoy. You just wasted one of my vacations on a trip to a toilet in stinking Australia. Great.
No problem.
Hey, there's plenty of things to do here.
There's plenty of other things.
That's just one of the many questions of life.
Well, thank you for asking it on my show. All right. Call.
Yeah, like,
I'm going to have you. I'm going to have you and your brother on my show eventually as guest hosts.
Yeah. We're trying to make a podcast of our own. We're having some trouble figuring out how to put up an RSS feed.
Okay, you need to email me. My life is yours, dude. I'm 100% fan. I will quit my show just so I can call into yours. So,
really?
Yeah.
Sweet.
No.
Yeah. Once we put up ours, we'll have to send you a promo to play or something.
All right, man. Well, thanks for calling, dude. You're awesome.
No problem.
Later.
Later.
See ya.
Bye.
Oh, dude.
I reckon we need, at the airport, when you come into Australia, just have a toilet just right there that everyone can just flush.
It just says FAQ over it. That's the only thing people want to know. Now you can get right back on the plane and go home.
Back on the plane.
Go. You could do it. You don't even have to go through security again. Just come flush this and leave.
That's right.
Oh, gosh.
I'll definitely be listening to that podcast so they get it up online. And I should mention that, thank you. James, for helping me get my podcast up.
Shucks.
Shorten the learning curve dramatically.
Wow.
There's a lot to work out, isn't there?
Well, the guys from Weekly Murloc got me started. But enough about us. Let's talk about this.
Up next, news, E&V mail.
Every week, the numbers of emails and voicemails we have to read and listen to goes up. So I need some help, Jeff. I'm going to read the first one, not because it's particularly hilarious. It's, I think it's going to be one of those you have to be there things. I just want to tell this story. I want to read it. So here it is. It's from Scotland. You want to talk about international stinking show? This is it.
Wow.
Hello, James and host person. Hope you are doing fine. This happened to me about 3 years ago. I'm sorry, 3 hours ago. So I thought I'd sign on and email you my story. Anyway, here it is. Me and my friend, let's call her Lucy. Let's go ahead and do that. Had just gotten out of school orchestra practice. And what with concentrating so very much hard, must be lost in translation, with my schoolwork, I was feeling more than a little hyper. I mean, why not yell? The corridors were abandoned, and since everyone had gone home, I decided to blurt out random gibberish. My friend said, shut up, you're acting weird. And Rhiannon says, I am weird. You're just being weird in a very disturbing way. He goes, I am disturbed. And then he thought of what to say, and to continue his random statement, he blurted out, I am disturbed about loincloths. So Lucy was taken aback, and so was I a little, but I carried on. Is that why you're here, Lucy? Because my loincloth is so sexy. I have to do it in the FB voice. Are you here because my loincloth is so sexy? I you know he had to have said it that way. So we both laughed until we turned purple and red in the face when I noticed a light was on in one of the classrooms. I peered in and was shocked to see the history teacher sitting there and looking straight at me. She looked a little confused, and I heard a small, oh my gosh, from Lucy. I decided to evacuate the building immediately.
Immediately!
And let's just say that history might be a little weird tomorrow. I hope this wasn't too long. Lots of loincloth. Ooh, Rhiannon from Scotland.
Dude, you can keep that loincloth. I don't want to have anything to do with that.
I'm crazy about loincloths.
I don't even know how to do it.
Do you think they wear loincloths a lot over in Scotland?
I hope they wear something. That's all I got to say. It's up to them what they want to wear. As long as it's covered, I'm cool.
I mean, you could turn a kilt into a loincloth pretty easily, I reckon.
Yeah, just tie up the sides like cheerleaders do their t-shirts, sleeves, you know? That'd be really cute. Okay, moving right along. Read what BT Way has to say here.
Okay. It says, hey, James. So a few days ago, my dad asked me to take my three-year-old sister to Burger King for lunch. On the way there, my sister asked me where Daddy was. So I told her that Daddy was at home and he didn't come with us. So
he doesn't love you. He wanted you out of the house. Did you tell her that? Yeah.
She either didn't believe me or her toddler instincts kicked in because she just kept asking even after she got an answer. We got to Burger King and I was ordering food when I heard her yelling, Daddy, Daddy. I thought she was being a whiny kid. But when I finished ordering, I turned around and saw that she was looking at a random man's watch, thinking that man was looking at a random man's watch, thinking that the man was her dad. The man was looking at my sister and both amusement and confusion with both amusement and confusion. Oh man, I'm so stupid. I can't read this shit. And I was laughing. I told my sister to look up and check if the man was really our dad. And as soon as she looked up slowly, which is hilarious when a three-year-old does it, I apologized to the man. It was a really good sport. And my sister didn't talk for the whole time while we ate at Burger King. The funniest part is that when we get home,
this is actually the most disturbing part. So just let people know. Go ahead.
Right. The funniest part is that when we got home, I was telling my dad about the incident, and my sister kept up interrupting me with "No, stop!" because she didn't want me to tell dad about it. And eventually, she ran away in embarrassment into the kitchen. Anyway, I love the show. Rock on, even though you don't do music requests.
No, it's not a music show, crazy. BT Way, you're a cruel older brother, and your dad doesn't love your sister. I just want to let you all know that.
But big shout out to the random man who was a really good sport.
Well, the thing they didn't tell him is he was a giant fat man with a white beard and a red outfit. So it's really actually kind of creepy. It was Santa Claus. Matthew writes, last week you and Lauren were talking about high school class slogans. That's right, because mine was Raising Heck and Having Fun, We're the Class of 91, and hers was 04 Do It or something. I don't know, just do it. I don't know. Anyway, so Matthew says, ours didn't have anything to do with our date. Our class shirts just said Class of 05, Wakanda's Last Hope.
Well, with that email, I feel sorry for Wakanda.
It's an old mining town, apparently. It's all burnt out, like in Footloose. And there's these kids collecting together. Yeah, the town council says this is our last hope because everybody's sterile. So
yeah. All the streets are all boarded up.
Everybody's leaving. It's like a burnout Amish community. We're going to send you out on your rump shaker or whatever that thing is that they do. What is it called? Rump Sella?
Rump Springer.
Yeah, Rump Springer. I thought it was Rump Shaker. I'm sorry. So Bob writes, okay, I know this is late, so put it on the next show. It's Thanksgiving, and my mom is passing out steaming hot, fresh from the stove broccoli. So she gets to my plate, and I'm thinking, man, wouldn't it suck if she dropped hot broccoli onto my head? Then guess what happened? She dropped it onto my head. It hurt really bad, Bob. There we are, the voice of the middle schooler. Nobody's listening podcast.
Well, I hope you recovered from that, Bob.
Bob, you know what I would do if I were you? I would think, oh, man, what if my mom, next time you're at the bank and your mom is getting money and cashing a check, just suddenly think, oh, man, what if my mom accidentally cashes a $1,000 check and gives it to me? Then write story, sucka.
And send it.
That's right.
Well, you know, in Australia, we don't have Thanksgiving-related broccoli incidents because we don't have Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I know. That's terrible. Do you have that's what I was going to ask you earlier. Do you have Halloween? I've heard that it's becoming a trend in some cities.
It is. Like, there was kids in our street this year running around asking for lollies.
You should definitely start promoting it. I mean, keep all the spooky crap out of it because that's... But, dude, I would definitely suggest that you guys give kids an opportunity to get free candy and dress up as pirates and princesses. So
I'm happy for that, but the kids that were coming around this year were just straight out of school and didn't have any costumes.
Oh,
they didn't even try. So, like, no
costume.
They
probably got on their MySpace and heard how their buddies were getting free candy, and they're like, oh, we can do this. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Hey, crikey, we can do this. I don't know. I just embarrassed myself horribly. Let me read one more, and then we'll save the rest for next time. Last night, I was getting dinner ready. I noticed the chicken I was preparing looked slightly more red than usual. I didn't think of it. Oh, actually, I featured this on the front page. It's a great story. I didn't think anything of it other than maybe it was a different breed of chicken, or maybe it was fresher than usual. So give the chicken the benefit of the doubt. That's always a good idea with chicken. It couldn't be streptococci or something. Anyway, then I noticed a red spot, and I thought, oh, a red spot on the chicken. But I didn't think about this either. Okay, that's awesome. Other than the chicken cleaners must have missed a spot. Because, chickens have red spots. And the chicken cleaners wipe them off before we see them. Tyson is cleaning your chickens for you. That's an American chicken company. I just want to let you know. They're feeding you like family.
Right.
I didn't think anything about this either. And I wipe my hands on a paper towel, as I often do when handling chicken. Most of us actually wash it with antibacterial soap, but okay. And oddly enough, there was this red stuff on the paper towel. It was then that I finally asked myself, why is there blood all over everything? It must be the chicken cleaner's fault. No, I checked my hands all over, no blood.
Everyone blames the chicken cleaner.
I know it. Oh, such a stereotype.
Give them a break. They work all day, and you just... dump all your problems on them.
Cleaning chickens is not a fun job. Be nice to them. So I cleaned everything up, including the chicken, which returned to its normal chicken color. It's actually a new Crayola crayon. It's going to be chicken. Then I saw a drop of blood on the counter, blood on a kitchen towel, blood on a cutting board, blood everywhere. I was going to bleed to death while unable to find where the blood was coming from. So I started to panic. I started checking everything again, but nothing. Finally, I noticed a red line on one finger, where the fold on the inside of one of my fingers is. I washed it out, but there was still no cut, no blood. I checked my hands all over again. No pain, no damage. So I went back to working to cut the chicken, figuring it must have stopped bleeding. Not a minute later, the chicken began to take on a red appearance again, so I called my local chicken cleaner and I cussed him out. No, that doesn't say that. This time, I covered both hands in paper towels as though I was wearing boxing gloves made of paper towels. How do you type with boxing gloves on? I am going to find this leak. I unwrapped the left hand, nothing. I unwrapped the right hand, there it is. Chicken, hungry blood stains. I look, and the area is formerly covered with paper towels. I see nothing. Finally, I see a drip of blood from my thumb. There is a slice on the very tip of my thumb that was in a blind spot. I didn't realize our hands had blind spots, Daryl, but apparently we do. As I rotated my thumb around to look for the cut, I couldn't see it because the cut was at a point of rotation. So apparently, there's a point of rotation on your hand. And Daryl, do you only have one eye? Because I'm telling you, if you had two, I guarantee you'd see it. And I'm not making fun of you if you only have one eye, Daryl, but you need to get that depth of perception thing. It is the coolest thing ever. The only way I could see it was to aim my thumb back at myself as though I was trying to hitch a ride to me. That's pretty funny. And at last, the mystery was solved, and we had Daryl-flavored chicken burritos for dinner. That's so gross.
Oh, gross.
With real Daryl, you know, baked right in. Mmm.
You know what he should have done is had a glass of water, and the water would have spurted out of the out of the hole.
Like when you're trying to find a leak out of tire when you're buying used tires. Yeah. Wow.
That works in cartoons, so why wouldn't it work for Daryl?
It does. I love water. Water. You know, when you say water, it actually sounds a little bit like a guy from New England here in America. So that's pretty cool. And also, there's a difference. We actually do use an Australian accent when we say, when we talk about buffaloes, we say bisons. Mm. But over there where you are, you wash your face in a bison. So.
No. Okay, I get it. I was like, what are you talking about? I bet it's going to be.
That is so awesome.
We don't say basin either, though. We say sink.
Oh,
we have sink.
See, that's another lie.
That's why I didn't get it.
There are so many lies about Australia. Mm-hmm. We can become we could become an official lie catcher. We could be like a Mythbusters for Australia.
Mythbusters. Yeah. Well, you know, see, we know all your sayings and things, all, you know, from, you know, because we get all the sitcoms, you know, all the American TV shows.
Yeah.
You know, 75% of our TV.
Do you get Seventh Heaven?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I've seen that show.
See, if you didn't get it, I was going to bust on you like you were missing out on this awesome show.
No. So we get that. And, you know, I think it's been relegated to lunchtime on a Sunday or something like
good.
That.
Good. It should be ending soon. I just want to give you some hope. All right.
I'll be in Seventh Heaven when that's finished.
Here's a button. Here is a voicemail from a fellow named Austin. If you guys go back and check, since he's been calling me off and on since October, he challenged me to send him a button because he's been listening to the podcast since the beginning, a couple of weeks, and he heard that I have a hard time mailing stuff out in a timely fashion. So he challenged me about a month ago to send him a button before he actually heard his voicemail played on the show. And so what I did, if you listen a couple podcasts later, I sent him a letter that looked exactly like the ones I send out when I send out a button, but I put a penny inside. And I got it out in a very timely fashion. Yeah, I slapped him upside the head from a few miles away, from Virginia to here. So anyway, this is his response. He's finally caught up, and he's heard all the jokes and stuff at his expense. So here it goes.
Hey there, James, fill in the blank, and all my fellow nobodies. So I'm listening to the podcast this week, and I'm suspicious that I may have caught up with myself about the button challenge there, and didn't hear anything, and then sure enough, at the end, sadly, I hear my own horribly sounding voice, and so, James, I hate to tell you, buddy, you didn't quite make it. Challenge is, I don't know, shall we say it's over? Shall
there's
we
no
just
challenge.
Take it painfully extended somehow? I don't know. Basically, can I have a button? Please? No, seriously? Can I have a button? Okay. Bye.
You know what? You can have a button when you submit some content. We send out buttons at least one a week to somebody that submitted an awesome email or an awesome voicemail, and begging doesn't work. The only way to really guarantee you get a button is by sponsoring one of our shows. And I forgot to mention, and I'll do it right here at the end, our today's episode, episode 46, is sponsored by Anonymous. And the message he wanted me to write was, quit making fun of my hat. And he sponsored the show for $5, and you can too, and you'll be named as a sponsor. You'll have a special message read. You'll have a button sent in the mail. You can dedicate a show to somebody or have me say something silly or promote your blog or your website or your DeviantArt gallery, whatever you want, and it'll go out to thousands and thousands of people, probably under 2,000. So if you're interested in that, check out the website at nlcast.com.
I've got to say, I feel this guy's pain. I also missed out on a button.
Oh, really?
For a different reason.
Yeah, because you live 7,000 million miles away.
Remember, I sent the underwear tornado story.
Oh,
Chuck Johnson show.
Yeah. Did he ever draw you a picture?
Never.
Oh, I didn't ever get it. Oh, dude, I'm going to have to email him.
So, Scott, if you're listening, get to work, mate. I know you're busy. But you know, I want a picture.
Okay, I will email him. I'll email him. He needs to follow through. He can't. He can't be my podcast hero if he doesn't follow through. So
he's got a lot. He's got a lot of listeners and a lot. He's doing about 4 or 5 podcasts now these days.
Yeah, but still,
I can see why he's busy. Yeah.
If there was money, he'd do it. Let me see. Let's do. Here's one from Caleb. Let's listen to this one.
Hi, nobody's listening. This is Caleb, a.k.a. The Real McCoy. Just got finished listening to the latest episode, Mac Attack. Gosh, James, that was a pretty morbid show. I mean, you kept on bringing up dead grandmas and stuff. You really should start a podcast called Nobody's Laughing. What with, like, Amy telling the story about how her dog got killed by another dog and how last week Connie sent in that story about the one-legged invisible Barbie doll.
That was pretty sad.
This is starting to get pretty morbid. Yeah, but it's also funny at the same time.
Thank you.
See you later, nobody's listening. Later.
Thank you, Caleb. Always hilarious, always funny. And it should interest all of you guys to know, I guess he wasn't quite done yet. It should interest all of you guys to know that the one-legged Barbie doll story really, really motivated me to do our Christmas Eve episode about my best Christmas ever. And so if you want to laugh at something that you've wanted to cry at and that will torture your dreams forever, then make sure you listen out for our very special Christmas Eve episode coming the day before Christmas. It's already recorded and in the bag, ready to go. Let's see. We've got a couple of voicemails. I'm going to have to wait till the end because they're a little long. Let's play this one, though. This is from Trevor's wife. Trevor from Canada's wife. Here we go. See what she has to say.
Hi, James. It's Sonia Cameron calling. Yes, Trevor's wife. He told me that I could call in with a funny story. And I have one about him. Thought you might like it. Story goes. Oh, a little bit of background information. We have 4 cats. And Trevor is by no means a morning person at all. Until like noon. So we get up one morning, getting ready for work. I'm standing in the kitchen, making lunches and stuff for he and I. And he gets up and he's in the shower and he's singing. And I'm looking back going, what is up with him this morning? Singing in the shower? Something's odd. So he comes out of the shower and I go, Trevor, what's wrong with you this morning? Like, singing in the shower? And I couldn't even tell what he was singing. And he kind of giggles at me. And he says, well, you know, it's just been one of those mornings. Hey, you've been up for 20 minutes. What kind of a morning are you having? What were you singing anyway? And so he's in the shower singing, oh, Indy, you came and you bit me while I was trying to sleep. Oh, Indy. Indy being one of said 4 cats. Anyway, I laughed extremely hard at that because, one, he doesn't sing, and two, like I said, he's not a morning person. So, a little funny story. Thought you might like it. Have a great day. Bye.
All right. You know, you have to watch out for those cat people. They're a little different, you know. If you have more than...
Hey,
don't tell me that. I knew it was coming.
I've one cat.
Oh, really? You are not a cat person then. You're not. Well, you have to have more than one cat.
Okay.
And my opinion is that you are a rarity, though, because I think cats are like Doritos. You can't just have one. And it's like, the cat people are like Mac people. You're not a Mac guy unless you only have Macs and you hate every other kind of computer. But if you just have a Mac because it's trendy, you're not a Mac guy. But you're not a cat person. But apparently Trevor is. I would just say this to Trevor's wife, Sonia. Congratulations on not being married to the other regularly occurring guest star on the show, because Trevor has never sprayed you with mace in the face while you were pregnant like the other guy did. So congratulations on choosing well within the confines and the boundaries of Canada. So congratulations. All right. I think that about wraps us up. We do need to give away a button. My vote today, let's see, out of all of the voicemails and all of the call-ins, let me ask this one question in our chat room. Is the real McCoy, do you have a button yet? Type it quick. Come on. Real McCoy.
18.
Do you have a button? Come on.
Do you have a button?
It's either Y or N. He's like, I don't know if I choose wrong. It's not a video game from the 80s where you die every time you mess up. Just answer the question. The real McCoy, do you have a button? Fine, you missed your opportunity. I'm going to give a button away. I don't know. You get a vote, too. What do you think?
All right. Well, you know, I thought the loincloth story was pretty funny.
But I'm not mailing nothing to Scotland.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Anything that comes out of Real McCoy's mouth is funny. So, you know, he deserves a button. You can give him a button, unless he's already got one.
Yeah, Real McCoy, yeah, if you have a button, I will. If you don't have a button, I'll send you one, buddy.
Did you give a button to Daryl for featuring his story on the website?
I will. I'll tell you what. Daryl, you are my – I'll send you one anyway. So, Daryl, send me your information. I'll send you – I may have given him one on a previous show, but that's okay. It's okay. If the same people keep sending in stuff, I'll keep sending out the buttons. I keep paying for the premium content with the button.
Yep.
25 cents is worth your best story. All right. Okay. That means we've got to get out of here. Hold on one second, though. Thank you so much for being on my show, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
I hope some people can
hope it was good.
Check out podhammer.net, look him up in iTunes, and become addicted to his type of entertainment. Check us out. We do have some news I forgot to mention. Our 50th episode is coming up soon, and also our one-year anniversary. And we have a contest you can check out on nlcast.com where you can win a free customized 20x30 art poster done by myself. I do these nobody characters that you can check them out at drawyoupicture.com. And what we're asking folks to do is find their favorite spot out of the last 48 or so episodes, clip it out using a free audio editor like Audacity, and send it to me in an MP3. We're going to choose our favorite couple, and we're going to give away a free nobody to somebody. So if that sounds like something you'd like to do, send that in. Or this is not the end of this is the end of the contest announcement, but we'd love to just have you call in and tell us about your favorite moment in the last 50 episodes so we could play it on our 50th show. I'm getting David back. I'm going to try to get my sister Amy back so we can have a big reunion. In the meantime, you can check us out at nlcast.com. You can send your emails and stories and stuff like that to nobodyslisteningtous@gmail.com. You can call in to the Nobody's Calling line at, 816-298-0823. And leave us an iTunes review if you feel like it. 126. I want to get 227. That would be awesome. Or just tell a friend about us. That'd be awesome. Jeff, one more time, buddy. Thank you. Thanks to all the people in the stick cam. And thanks for listening.
Thanks for having me. Can I just say, you know, people, leave your feedback, leave your emails and calls. Podcasting is all about getting a response from the community. It makes it worthwhile.
Absolutely.
So take the effort and you know, support James. He does a great show here. And yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, bud. It won't matter, though. I mean, it was awesome that you said that. I really appreciate it. I know it was from the heart. But the sad truth is that nobody's listening. And I lost the ending. There it is.
Sorry.
No, it was me. I didn't have my button. I didn't have the button pushed. It's okay.
I didn't get it at the right time.
No, you did fine. You did great. There's a lag, and you totally accommodated for it. That was great.
Oh, excellent. Cool. Well, it's a long way away, you know. That cord's got to get down that fiber optic cable.
That's right.
Well, it's been about 10 minutes, and still nothing. So, maybe you'll go ahead and, you know, look at the screen or something. Make us feel special or something, because it's pretty whack. I'm about to play some music, although Sleaziosis, ow, crap, is apparently playing music. I don't know, I've got him muted because he's always constantly... Oh, wait. Yes. Okay. I think he just fixed it, but I'm not sure. Wish I could delete this message because I'm going to sound stupid, but I'm not sure. So I'm going to stop while I'm semi-ahead. I don't know. Everybody in the chat room was like, yay, or something. Maybe. I don't know. Bye.
Hey, nobody's listening. This is the real McCoy's brother, Casey. You may know me as Mr. Listening on the forums. Probably not, because I never really post on there. Well, I had a story that I just heard from my karate teacher pretty much yesterday night, and it went like this. So he's teaching at another karate class. I think it was John Bartlett or something. And he was talking to a bunch of 5- and 6-year-olds. And he says, your moms and dads love it when you jump in bed and give them lots of hugs and kisses.
Wait, Casey, what's this teacher's name?
Mr. Lucifer, let's call him. So, this one kid goes home to his mom, and she's single, of course, which really fits the story well. So he jumps in bed, gives her a hug and kisses, and says, that was for Mr. Lucifer. So it came out wrong, and the mom was kind of creeped out at that moment. So thanks for letting me share. Bye.
Hi, James, and whoever else is on Nobody's Listening. This is Connie from Ohio, and I, excuse me, I am calling because, well, now it's December, and of course people consider this Christmas season, and I thought maybe I'd tell you a cautionary tale of Christmas gift giving. I was regularly known growing up to be an unusual dresser, I guess. I sort of pushed the limits of taste, and I guess you could call me fashion forward. Anyway, it's a scary thing what people think are fashion forward, I must say, because one time I got for a Christmas present a red flannel mop cap with a red t-shirt material pajama top with red flannel sleeves and a red flannel heart in the middle of it with white lace around it and a blue bow. Then, to top it all off of this unusual attire, there were red flannel knee-high booties with the lace on the top and the little bows. And I opened it up. I was speechless. I was like, oh, this is just incredibly horrible. But I didn't want to say that because my dad had a ear-to-ear grin on his face, and he said, well, I saw this, Connie, and I thought of you, and I just thought, oh, heavens, thank you. So on a dare, I wore it a couple times, but, oh, my gosh, it's just a cautionary tale. If you think this might look pretty good on somebody, you might want to ask somebody else. Anyway, thank you for letting me share. Bye.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.